As you know, I live in Zone 3, and on that night of the 17th, we were on the road coming back to West, and we got phone calls about what was happening. Of course, when by the time we got here, we weren't allowed to get in, so it was many days before we got to our house. Once we got to the house, it was clear that we weren't going to be able to live there. You know, we had that one day, that first day that Zone 3 was allowed in, and we had a curfew. I think there was a 10-hour window, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. You could go in and get all the stuff out. And so we had a lot of friends and family who were there with us and helped us just unload everything we could out of the house so that we could eventually get to it. And the whole time we're doing that, there was one line of a song that just kept going through my mind all day long. The people who were helping me asked me to either stop singing or learn more of the song. But I just kept hearing over and over in my mind the Building 429 song that says, you know, take the world, but give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. And I'm moving my stuff from one room to the next to out to the trailer, and I'm thinking, this is not where I belong. It was surreal. This was my life a couple of weeks ago, and now all of a sudden I'm reminded this is stuff. This is not where I belong. And since that time, we've moved from place to place. We kind of kid about being homeless because I don't have my home. But you know what I've determined and what I've learned through this thing is I'm not homeless. I'm just not home yet. I want us to think about that this morning. If you've got your copy of Scripture with you, look with me in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, starting at chapter 4, verse 16. I'm not homeless. I've got a home. I'm just not there yet. I want us to think about it together because there's some exciting news in this passage. We learn some great things that would be good for us to never forget. Unfortunately, some of the lessons that we learn here are things that we don't appreciate and don't realize our need for until a disaster like this or some other great loss happens in our lives, and then all of a sudden we realize that we do need to know this stuff. I want to share it with you this morning. It is in the process of changing my life, and I think it could probably do the same thing for you this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to begin at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. When you don't lose heart, that means you don't give up. It means you still can be strong and courageous. You know, when somebody really puts their all into it, we say he did it with his whole heart. When he only gives it half an effort, you know, we say that was a half-hearted effort. Here he says, we're not going to lose heart. We're going to put our whole heart into it. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. I want you to think about that. I don't know if you're like I am. Actually, I do know you're like I am, but I'm trying to be nice about it. But every day that we get older, we sense more and more that outer man decaying. As we get older, we understand what Paul is saying. The outer man is decaying. That old knee just ain't what it used to be. Chances are it never will be what it once was. That ticker doesn't tick the way it's supposed to tick like it used to. Even the brain doesn't fire like it used to. The outer man is decaying. But Paul says, I have found something. I have found that as the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day after day. And I want you to know that has been my experience ever since the 17th, ever since the explosion. That first night, like many of you, I'm not saying I'm different than anybody else. That first night, like many of you, I didn't sleep at all. We had too much work to do, too many things to do, too much on my mind, too much on my heart. We didn't sleep that first night. That second night, we got an hour or two, maybe. The third night, an hour or two, maybe. And then slowly, we started sleeping a little bit more. And we should not have been able to continue on that Friday or that Saturday without that kind of sleep. Had no appetite. It wasn't that I was on a hunger strike. I just never even, wasn't hungry. It was something I've never experienced before. What are you laughing at? No appetite, no reason to eat. It just wasn't there. And so with no sleep and no food, there's no way that we should have been able to continue on that Saturday, much less that Sunday. But you know what was happening? People across the state, across the nation, even across the world, people were praying for us. And God was honoring and blessing based on the prayers of His people. And so every morning we woke up with a new strength. Our inner man was renewed day after day because God was at work. I hope that you experienced that as I did because it has changed my life. I no longer depend on me for everything and hope that I'm pleasing God. I've been reminded that every day I wake up is a blessing from God. And every breath I take is a gift from Him. Every moment that I'm alive, every chance that I have to be with my family and my friends is a blessing from an almighty God. I depend on Him completely every day. You see, the outer man is decaying. But the inner man is renewed in strength every day. There's a new power at work. There's a new power working inside of believers. You see, I'm not sure how we go through things like this without the power of God at work. How do you go through this without hope and peace? How do you go through this on your own strength and your own understanding? I don't know. Thank God I don't have to. There's a new power at work, a power that has been a part of my life since I gave my life to Jesus, but I'm not sure that I ever recognized it. I think I probably took it for granted most of my life. All of a sudden, I don't take it for granted anymore. There's a new power at work. You see, the outer man is decaying. Physically, I'm hurt and tired. But on the inner man, there is a renewed strength every day. Isaiah chapter 40 at verse 29 says, He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. The way Paul said it again, though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. There's not only a new power at work, but there's also a new perspective at work. Again, this new perspective becomes reality when a person trusts in Christ, but after we've been saved for a while, sometimes we take it for granted and we forget about it. So let's be reminded this morning, there is a new perspective on life. Look at verse 17. I want to show you this new perspective. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension or comparison. Far beyond all comparison. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, there's a new perspective on life. He says these momentary light afflictions producing an eternal weight of glory. You say, well, the problems that we're facing are not light. They're not just momentary light afflictions. And they're not. They're hard. They're heavy. But what he's doing is he's comparing the two. The momentary afflictions of this world in comparison to the weight of glory on the other side. It's a new perspective. If you only look at the problems we have in this life, yes, they are beyond us. They're heavy. We can't deal with them. They're too much. But what you do is you learn to compare the afflictions on this side to the glory on the other side. And that's a new perspective that will change your life. He says, momentary, light afflictions. Now remember who said that. The man who talked about troubles in this life as being momentary and light, that man is the very man who was imprisoned, who was flogged, who was beaten with rods, who was stoned almost to death, who was shipwrecked, who was snake bit. This is the man who says these are light, momentary afflictions. How can he say it? Because he had that new perspective. Everything in life is relative. This is probably the worst thing that you could have imagined that our town would go through. The reason this is the worst thing that we could imagine is because we have not seen or experienced anything worse. Everything is relative. And so if we focus on this life, on these problems, on this difficulty, it will overwhelm us. But if we remember life is relative and we compare it, then what happens is we remember that these problems are temporary. They don't last forever. And these problems really don't weigh that much if you compare it to the weight of the glory that does last forever and ever and ever. We'll get through this light, momentary affliction. And we will enjoy, by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, we will enjoy the heavy weight of the great glory that is being in His presence. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. As bad as this was, it is light compared to the weight of glory that will be revealed. You see, there's a new power for believers. There's a new perspective for believers. And then I want you to remember, there's going to be a new body. There's going to be a new body one of these days. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. You remember, don't you, that the numbers were added later. Paul didn't write chapter 4 and then put a big number 5 and write chapter 5. He just wrote. We put the numbers in, and in this case, I'm not sure I would split those chapters. I think this is a continued teaching. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You remember Paul was a tent maker, right? That was his job. So many of the other disciples were farmers. One was a tax collector. Fishermen. They were fishermen, and one was a tax collector. Paul was a tent maker by trade. And because of that, it's not surprising that he would understand life from the perspective of a tent maker. He says, we know if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Not only is he thinking about our body as a tent because he's a tent maker, he's also reminding the folks of the first church, if you will. We'd call it the mobile temple. Just like we got mobile homes today. There was a mobile temple before they were ready to get settled in to the new place. Before they had time to build the new place, they were wandering around, and they had a mobile temple. It was called the tabernacle. It was a big tent, and they'd set up the tent, and they'd have church, and they'd take down the tent, and they'd move over yonder, and they'd set it up, and they'd have church, and they'd take it down, and they'd move over yonder, and they'd set it up, and they'd have church. But then one of these days along the way, at the right time, in the right place, they were finally allowed to build the temple, the place. They finally got to build their home, if you will. And he's referring to that. He says, that's just like us. Our body right now, it's just the tabernacle. It's the mobile home. It's just moving from place to place. It's temporary. And one of these days, the tent's going to come down. But compare that to the place more like the temple. Compare that to the permanent structure. Only this is not a temple that was made by human hands. This is going to be a home made by God and God alone. It's a home that will never fade away, that will never fall down. He says that's what's going to happen to us right now. This temporary body, it's flawed. It's flawed. We get a cold. We get pneumonia. We get cancer. The joints don't work. Arthritis sets in. It's flawed. One of these days, this tent's going to fall. Just last week, there was a church that came to town, and they held their own tent revival right over here across the street. One night, the storm came through and knocked the tent down. Phil had to contact them and say, hey, you might want to come to church early tomorrow because you got to put your tent back up, you know. It's temporary. Storms come and knock us down. That's a picture of our life. Our life is like the grass that comes up, and then before long that heat comes over and the grass is gone. It's like that mist that comes up in the morning when the sun shines bright enough. That mist is gone. That's our earthly body. That's life as we know it as a human. It's temporary. But you see, God is making a home for those who are His children. A new home, a new body, a perfect body. We call it the glorified body. And in that glorified body, there's no cancer. There's no creaking of the joints. In that glorified body, there's no decay. You don't even have to use reading glasses in that glorified body. It's amazing when you think the knees work, the muscles are strong, the eyes see clearly, the ears hear perfectly, the mind is sharp. It's a glorified body that is perfect because God made it to be that way. One of these days, we're going to step out of this temporary, this tent, and we're going to find ourselves at home in a new body made by God's hands. For we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2, for indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our eternal, with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we were in this tent, we groaned, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. While we're here, there's something inside of us that says, this is not all there is. While we're here, there's something inside of us that's saying there's more to this life. It's groaning for that final, eternal body that He's going to give us someday. We're longing for it. We're groaning for it, he says. In Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. In other words, you can't do it, but He can. And He will. He will provide for His people new body. There's a new power when we're believers, when we're Christians. There's a new perspective. There will be a new body. And then I want you to know as well about a new home. Right here in chapter 5, jump down to verse 6. Therefore, chapter 5, verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. He says, right now you're at home in the body. But since you're at home in the body, you're absent from the Lord. You see, you can only be in one of two places. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you've been saved, you can only be in one of two places. You are either in your body on this earth, or you are in the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven. The believer will not see hell. The believer will not see the grave. The believer will not see any other thing in between. You're either at home in the body, or you're present with the Lord. One or the other. You see, there's a new home for the believer. Since the explosion, we have moved four times. Later this week, or early next week, we're going to begin the work of tearing down our house. We're going to watch it being demolished. And that's going to do something that I don't want to have to experience inside of me, because we love that house. And I'm not looking forward to that experience. But I want you to know that when we see it, we're going to be able to say to each other, I'm not homeless. I'm just not home yet. It's just a house. It's just stuff. In my opinion, most of that house was beautiful. But it's just stuff. I'm homeless. But it's just because I'm not home yet. I've got a home. And I'm on my way. John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples, for a while now you're going to feel like you're homeless. He told them, this world is going to be nasty to you. It's not going to be fun to be my follower. And we're going to talk about that here in a couple of months. Being a follower doesn't mean it's always fun. We're going to talk about that soon, so remember that. He told the disciples that night, it's not going to be fun to be my follower. You're going to feel homeless, but you need to understand, you're just not home yet. In my Father's house, he said, are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. Therefore, we can be of good courage, knowing that while we're at home in the body and absent from the Lord, he says, we walk by faith, not by sight. While we're here, we're walking by faith. We can't see Jesus, so we walk by faith, believing in him. We can't see that new home, so we walk by faith, believing in it. One of these days, we're not going to have any faith left. You know there's no faith in heaven, right? No faith in heaven. You don't need faith because you see it. You see Jesus. You see that new home. You see glory. You don't have to hope and believe. You know, because it's there in front of your face. Here we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, prefer rather to be absent from the body to be at home with the Lord. I may not have a house, but I have a home. I have a home prepared for me by the Creator Himself. And one of these days, I'm going to walk through my last valley. I'm going to cross that last river. I'm going to walk away from fear and pain and sorrow and loneliness and illness and loss. I'm going to turn my back on dreary days. I'm going to shed my last tear. And I'm going to step through those pearly gates and onto those golden streets. My eyes will see the beauty of glory, and my ears will hear the songs of praise. I'm going to eat from the tree of life and drink from the river that flows from the throne of God. I'm going to make my way to that throne, and I'm going to fall on my face before the Lord. I'm going to join the angels and the elders, and we're all going to sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I'm going to see my Savior face to face, and I'm going to hear the thunder of His voice as he calls out my name. I'm going to rise to my feet and put my hands in the air and shout, hallelujah. My feet are going to forget that I used to be a Baptist, and we're going to dance for joy. I'm going to be more alive at that moment than I've ever been before. And then it's going to hit me. I'm going to realize that I'm not here just for a visit. I'm not here just taking a tour. I'm going to be amazed with the realization that I am finally at home. Will you be there? Will we be there together? When I get there, I'm going to see my daddy. I'm going to see Lisa's daddy. I'm going to see Clint Carpenter and Daniel Cotto, childhood friends that died way too early. I'm going to see members of our church family who laid the groundwork here for us and then went home. I'm going to see them. We're going to know each other. And we're going to celebrate what Christ has done. And the celebration is never going to end. But I want to know, am I going to see you there? If your answer to that is, I hope so, then, beloved, the chances are I won't. Because if you're hoping that you're doing enough to be good enough to get there, then you're putting your hope in the wrong thing, because you can't be good enough to undo the sin in your life. You'll never work your way there. It doesn't happen that way. Will I see you there when I get there? If your answer is I don't know, then chances are the real answer is no. But if you can say today, yes, because, not of me, but because of Jesus. Yes, because I have trusted in Jesus Christ to forgive me of the sin that would keep me out. I've trusted in Him to forgive me of the sin that would keep me out. And because of that, I know that there's no sin that He hasn't covered. He died for me. He paid for my sin. I've accepted that gift. I have a relationship with Him. And because of that relationship now, He's going to welcome me into His home. If that's your answer, I'll see you at home someday. Father, we thank You. We thank You for that hope and that joy. Lord, we look forward to that day when we're finally at home. But until that day comes, Lord, help us to serve You faithfully and fully. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Help us to take every step along the way in the power and the strength that You provide. Until that day that we get to be home, Lord, help us remember we are Your children. Father, if there is any one of us today who needs to be sure that we've accepted Christ's gift of grace, help us make sure before we leave this place today. We pray.